Hello and welcome to Peace Hospitals podcast. Today, we are diving deep into a topic that affects millions worldwide, yet often remains misunderstood and under-discussed, that is gastroesophageal reflux disease or GERD. Joining us today, Dr. M. Sudhir, Senior Consultant Gastroenterologist and Hepatologist, having wide expertise in treating and managing gastroesophageal reflux disease or GERD. In today's episode, he would like to unravel the mysteries of GERD and uncover practical insights to manage and overcome this often overlooked condition. Dr. M. Sudhir, thank you for joining us at Peace Hospitals High Tech City.
Thank you for inviting me today. I would like to unravel the mysteries surrounding GERD and empower us with knowledge to better manage this silent agony within.
Dr. Sudhir, thank you for joining us. Can you tell me what exactly GERD means?
This is quite a common condition which is being seen for the last so many decades, and in my 35 years or 37 years of practices, actually the trend has kept on increasing compared to what it was some one or two decades back. This is mainly because of our dietary habits. It has been found out that this is quite disturbing for the patients as well as for the treating doctor sometimes. Sometimes they are very refractory also. So let us see how we can manage such condition. And commonly we see so many patients having this GERD symptoms. They passed off as normal variant. They have small belching. They have some regurgitation. They consider it as normal. But if the frequency and the severity increases, then it's really troublesome. The troublesome features are, you know, the patient has severe burning, they'll have water brash, they'll have regurgitation, as well as severe crampy pain in the sternal region. This is really very troublesome for the patient because they go here and there and ultimately land up with some problems.
What are the most common symptoms of GERD and how they typically manifest in individuals?
Let us talk about first the common symptoms, what the patient can have. Generally, the patients, as I told you, they consider it as a normal mechanism, but ultimately they'll have, you know, severe burning pain, especially when the patient is lying down. They'll patient have the sometimes dysphagia also, burning sensation in the stomach. The burning sensation can extend up to the throat also. And then the such a condition, they'll have severe throat pain and sometimes cough also. And ultimately some people have dysphagia, difficulty in swallowing. This is an alarming sign. When the patient is having dysphagia, that is difficult in swallowing, we have to look very carefully and the patient should not ignore these symptoms. And then the patients will have severe sometimes hiccups and then belching. These are the features, other features of this GERD. Apart from this, there are some extra esophageal symptoms. That is, the problem is in the esophagus, but the patient comes with the respiratory symptoms or sometimes upper sinus related symptoms, sometimes ear symptoms, sometimes pain in the teeth also. This is because unknowingly the patient will have reflux into the throat. They are called micro reflux, and then this can lead to problem in the larynx. They'll have the speech problems, they'll have hoarseness, they'll have a recurrent cough also. And sometimes the patient can also have pain in the ear and recurrent middle ear infections, Eustachian catarrh and recurrent sinusitis. Regarding the teeth, they can have decay of the teeth, and sometimes dental surgeon also refers to the gastroenterologist because this unexplained decay of the teeth and then the dentin gets, enamel gets damaged. This is because of acid in this throat. So this is the way a patient can present with the esophageal symptoms and extra esophageal symptoms.
So doctor, can you describe some of the less commonly known warning signs of GERD that individuals might overlook?
Now, what are the warning signs for which the patient has to consult the doctor or when the doctor has to think more closely in this patient? The warning signs are if the patient is having loss of appetite, loss of weight, and in the presence of this burning sensation in the throat and the sternal area and the epigastric, if the patient has this loss of appetite and loss of weight, then we'll have to think very carefully because such is a condition where, you know, we'll have to think of malignancies also. And especially if the patient is having some GI bleeding because of constant problem, they can have retching and sometimes blood streaks in the sputum. and sometimes there can be a tear in the esophagus. So this such a condition also requires close monitoring. And other warning signs where we'll have to think is a long-standing GERD can have malignancy as a complication. The patient may not have any symptom at all regarding malignancy, but a periodical surveillance has to be done, and then there's a condition known as a Barrett's esophagus, which is a pre-malignant condition, and sometimes the other complications are dysphagia. Because of constant reflux into the esophagus, the patient can have a stricture, peptic stricture we call, in the lower esophageal area. This leads to a severe dysphagia and then difficulty in swallowing. Such is a condition. These are all we call as a warning symptoms or alarm symptoms or a red flag symptoms. Such a case, you know, we'll have to look more carefully, because apart from medicines, we'll have to consider surgery also in the management.
What are the primary causes behind the development of GERD, and how do they contribute to the condition?
Now, as I told you earlier, the incidence is increasing in the population. This is because our lifestyle has changed. So let us first discuss about the causes and what are the risk factors for this GERD. Primarily, diet is our main thing, which is very important. These days, we are taking a highly saturated or fatty acid diet, and this leads to a weakness of the lower esophageal sphincter. See, normally what happens, there's an angle at which the esophagus joins the stomach. This angle is a protective phenomenon. The way it enters the stomach, it has at an angle, so it's a protective phenomenon. So there is a reflux will not occur generally normally. But if this angle is not normal, or if the lower esophageal sphincter is weak, so this also causes reflux of the stomach continuing to the esophagus. So what causes this reflux? So one is the diet, which I told you, a high fatty diet, a high chocolate diet, a high non-vegetarian diet, or a high spicy diet. All these things can increase the reflux, and because of the decrease in the esophageal sphincter. Then, apart from this, alcohol is another factor. Alcohol relaxes the lower esophageal sphincter. This causes reflux. And other things are smoking. Smoking is such a common addiction. People don't understand the importance, because long-standing smoking can affect the can cause GERD and ultimately to esophageal cancer also. So these are the things which you will have to keep in mind. So by doing this lifestyle modification, main symptoms of this GERD can be reduced. This GERD is also associated with obesity, because what happens if the patient is overweight? Generally, they have this lax lower esophageal sphincter. And because of their habit of the dietary habit, unnecessarily they'll be leading to a lot of reflux symptoms. And again, another factor which is known as hiatus hernia. The prevalence of hiatus hernia is also increasing in the last 1.5 decade. Hiatus hernia is strongly associated with GERD symptoms, because hiatus hernia is a condition where the gastroesophageal junction position is shifted up into above the diaphragm. So the position of the sphincter is above the diaphragm. So with this, what happens? This sphincter also is reduced. This pressure of the sphincter is also reduced spontaneously. So the incidence of GERD is more in this hiatus hernia. So obesity, hiatus hernia are interlinked to the GERD.
How does endoscopy contribute to the diagnosis of GERD?
See, endoscopy is a device by which, you know, we can go inside the esophagus and see the sphincter and the stomach also, and to find out what is the exact cause of this GERD, whether the sphincter is tight or sphincter is lax, and how much reflux it is there, presence of hiatus hernia. All these things can be made out in endoscopy. Now, do all patients of GERD require endoscopy? This is one thing which is difficult to answer, but initially a couple of weeks symptoms are there, generally we don't do an endoscopy. But if the symptoms are persisting for more than few weeks, because there the problem occurs, there's some defect in the junction. So such cases, it's better always to do an endoscopy. And more so, what as I told you, there's a warning signs, especially an elderly person. If the patient is not responding to the routine anti-reflux measures, and if the patient is having weight loss or loss of appetite or any hematemesis or gas or blood vomiting, these are the conditions where definitely we'll have to go for endoscopy, because all patients don't respond routinely with our routine management. So we have to very carefully look, and we should not miss a malignancy or any other condition when you're suspecting GERD.
What are the treatment options for GERD?
Now, coming to the treatment of such cases, initially Before we start the medicines, as I told you earlier, lifestyle modification is important. The person has to reduce the weight because obese people have more reflux. So by reducing the weight, reflux will be reduced. And the diet control. Diet control, the quantum of the food should be reduced. The patients generally tend to have large stomach full quantity of food. This what happens? There's a relaxation of the lower esophageal sphincter and reflux occurs. Naturally, because of this volume, the pressure of the food itself can cause the laxity of the sphincter. So a patient should have small quantity meals and more frequent meals. The stomach should not be put at a tension. By this, most of the symptoms can come down. And then avoiding the precipitating or risk food items. What are these? As I told you, we should avoid especially the fatty diet, the chocolates, alcohol, avoiding tobacco and spicy ingredients like citric acids. And then this ginger, garlic, especially I prefer not to give. And then less of this tomatoes. And other common things, aerated drinks. This is one of the main cause. The aerated drinks are being consumed a lot by the present generation, and it has started more so in the Western countries. This is, they don't drink water, they just drink aerated drink in between their snacks. So this causes more reflux. So this is one of the things which should be avoided.
What are the most common medications prescribed for treating GERD, and how do they work to alleviate symptoms?
Now, regarding the medicines, what medicines to be taken by the patient? Generally, they keep popping up this antacid pills, but always okay for a time being, for an emergency, it's okay. But if the patient is recurrently having this problem, he has to consult a doctor, because doctor will decide what type of medicine to be given and what are the other drugs which are causing this and what is his lifestyle. So all this has to be addressed by the doctor. So always better to consult the doctor. We have so many medications which are available in the market for controlling the reflux, the symptoms. Apart from the antacids, we have H2 blockers, we have proton pump inhibitors, there's so many. Each one has their own benefit. And then other aspect is a prokinetics. We have to give a prokinetic generally in this to avoid reflux. Prokinetic is a medicine where, you know, it increases the stomach motility. By increasing the stomach motility, the duration of food in the stomach is reduced. So once the duration of the food in the stomach is reduced, there's no pressure on the lower esophageal sphincter. So this adds to the treatment and benefits the patient. So prokinetics is good, and then and acid suppressant agents like the H2 blockers and the proton pump inhibitors. So these are the very important armamentarium in this thing we'll have for the treatment of GERD.
What are the typical indications for surgical intervention in GERD cases?
Now, when do we subject the patient for surgery? What are the indications for surgical intervention or endoscopic? We have endoscopic interventions also apart from the surgery. The mechanism is same, because the lower esophageal sphincter is lax and is not responding, or is not getting tightened, not responding to the anti-reflux medications and not reflexing to the dietary habits or to the food alteration. Then the patient is requiring a high dose of PPI. As such are the cases where, you know, we'll have to intervene by endoscopically or by surgically. Now, endoscopically, the different technique, there's a technique of tightening the lower esophageal sphincter by this radio frequency ablation. We pass endoscope with the radio frequency probe, and then that burns the surrounding tissue and makes a fibrosis. Other one is a endoscopic tightening of the lower esophageal sphincter. Right, that is the anti-reflux procedure. Same thing, anti-reflux procedure can be done by the surgeons, by the laparoscopic fundoplication. These are the surgical methods. These are meant mainly for refractory cases, not responding to the routine medications or high dose of PPIs. So ultimately, whatever thing we do, whether it's lifestyle, dietary alteration, or the medical management, or the surgical management, it's always the main aim is to prevent the reflux. By this, you know, the patients can live comfortably.
Thank you, Dr. Sudhir, for sharing crucial information regarding the GERD to our listeners.
I hope this information can be valuable for the listeners, and don't let GERD go undiagnosed or untreated, as it can have serious consequences. Take control of your well-being by listening to your body, making necessary lifestyle changes, and seeking medical guidance when needed. Your journey towards relief and comfort starts with awareness and proactive steps.
If any of you have any further questions regarding GERD, please don't hesitate to consult a gastroenterologist. By staying informed, seeking assistance when needed, And prioritizing your health, you can take control of your gut and live life to the fullest. And remember, your well-being matters. We will see you soon with another episode on Peace Hospitals podcast. Until next time, stay informed, stay proactive, and take care of your health. Thank you.